back of your program, you'll find the scripture that we're going to follow very closely and the message outline. I'd like for you to turn to the back of your program. You'll find the scriptures, Mark chapter 12, verses 24 through 27. And you'll find a brief message outline we're going to follow very closely this morning. Our scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, and beginning at verse 24 through 27. And it reads from the New King James Version, Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken.'" So I want to speak to you today as we continue in the theme of the resurrection. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And I want to continue now as we look at the resurrection and some of the teachings that Jesus Christ offers as we understand the resurrection. And this is a very important passage of scripture because Jesus is now directly teaching specifically regarding the resurrection and what it means for you and I and what God is trying to impart to all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. And so they had asked Jesus a question about, it's kind of a funny story. I can't imagine this ever actually happening. But they asked Jesus, what if a man marries and has a wife, and then the man dies, and his brother marries the wife, and then the brother dies, and it's seven brothers, and all seven of them marry the same woman? Now, I'm thinking to myself, now that's, it ain't like it's just, it wasn't like it was just Adam and Eve and just that one woman on the planet. But anyway, they asked Jesus this kind of crazy question, and they said, now, if none of them had any children, all seven brothers, none of them had any children, then whose wife would she be in heaven? That's what they asked. And aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? Yeah, you. I know you are. I'm glad I'm not, too. Because I would have just been calling them, you guys must be fools. Just complete fools. But Jesus was, he's the Christ. And he answers them with wisdom. And in his answer, he does some things that will help us, help you and I as we have to deal with a crazy society. Sometimes craziness starts at the top. But wherever it is, you have to deal with it. And so Jesus says to them, and it's the first part of your outline. Jesus says to them, you are mistaken because you do not know the scriptures. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to write that down. They're mistaken because they don't know the scriptures. And it's important for us. These are Jesus' exact words. Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures? And most of the time, people we deal with, whether it's in government or whether it's on the job or whether it's neighbors or even in our personal relationships with our husband and wife and with siblings, it's because we don't know the scriptures. We decided not to live by what the scripture says. But when you know the scriptures and you decide you're going to live by the scriptures, it will solve a lot of our problems. We won't be near as mistaken. We're mistaken because we don't know the scriptures. So Jesus says to this group of people, he says, you're mistaken, and your mistake is that you do not know the scriptures. You don't know what God has said. A lot of times we know what the professor said, we know what some author has said, but we sometimes forget to know, but what does God say? With regards to our sexuality, and I know we got all kind of sexual people and transsexual people. And one of my good friends is a transsexual. He was born a female and is now a male. And he also pastors, Tracy, no offense, a Lutheran church. And is a good person. But when I get to have lunch with him, I say, but you know, you're still mistaken. Because I love you. I'm a mistaken person. I make mistakes. So I just have to acknowledge, I do make mistakes. I don't ever recall, I'm 68, I don't recall a day that I haven't made a mistake. But we got a God who forgives mistakes if we ask him. If we're arrogant and say, what I do is just what I do, and don't want to acknowledge God and say, God, I'm sorry I made a mistake in my response. I'm sorry that I didn't respond in a way that would be pleasing to you. These people are mistaken, and they don't even want to acknowledge that they made a mistake. That's a dangerous person. When you're mistaken and then refuse to acknowledge your mistake. That's dangerous for a country. That's dangerous for a family. That's dangerous for a church. That's dangerous for anybody to be mistaken and then refuse to acknowledge the mistake. But Jesus says to them, you're mistaken because you do not know the scriptures. But then he doesn't stop there. A second part of the outline, he also says you're mistaken because you do not know the power of God. And my brothers and sisters, this is gonna include most believers. Most of the people that are occupying our churches now don't have a real sense of the power of God. God has the power to take a broken, mistaken man, a broken, mistaken woman, and change them into somebody God calls a saint of God because of the power of God. But when we are mistaken about his power, we can become mistaken about the one that God has. He takes something that's crooked and makes it straight. He takes something that has been broken and makes it whole. And that's part of the power of God. But when we're mistaken about that power, then we'll start looking at somebody who was crooked like the Apostle Paul, and then God comes into his life and changes him, but we want to refuse to acknowledge that God has changed him. We still want to call him Saul when God has changed his name to Paul. We still want to say he's crooked when God has said, but I've straightened him out. We still want to say he's a devil when God has said, no, I'm going to make him like a saint of God. Our God, my brothers and sisters, has the power to change. He has the power to change you. And the reason I know it, because he had the power to change me. Our God can make changes in our lives. And so Jesus says to them, now, you're mistaken on two fronts. You didn't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. Now, if you had to make the mistake of one or the other, then I would tell you to make the mistake of the scriptures, because you can still then know the power of God. But if you make the mistake of the power of God, you will never fully understand the scriptures, because the scriptures they're going to become illuminating to you by the power of God. God's power will start illuminating his scriptures. That's why it's important to read the scriptures. But don't just read the scriptures, pray to God. Because when you pray to God, God will start to enlighten you. He will start to illuminate your mind on what the scripture says. They made the mistake of not only not knowing the power of God, they made the mistake of not knowing the scripture. And God wants us to know them both. He wants us to know the scriptures, and he wants us to know the power of God. And too many believers just do not know the power of God. Then Jesus addresses them even more precisely now in verse 25. He says, for verse 25, he said, for when they rise from the dead, And he's talking about the resurrection here. And I want you to note, my brothers and sisters, when you understand the scriptures and you understand somewhat of the power of God, you get this idea that God has the power to even take that which is dead and make it alive. He'll take a dead marriage and breathe life into it. He'll take, because Trinity won't know nothing about this, but he'll take a dead church and breathe life into it. He'll take a dead nation and breathe life into it. God has the power to take the dead and breathe life into it. And so Jesus now, in answering this question, he says, for when they rise from the dead, and notice he didn't say if they rise. He doesn't say perhaps they might rise. He says when they rise. And he's not just talking about believers. The unbelievers are going to rise also. Everybody's going to rise to the judgment. The unbeliever is going to rise to condemnation because they have refused the Christ. But the believer, who also will be judged, Jesus Christ is going to say, but they believed in me, and I died for their sins. Everybody that believes in Jesus Christ, he dies for our sins. He dies. In fact, John 3:16 tells us he died for the whole world. But only those that are in the world that received him will have life. That's why it's so important for us to tell everybody in this world, because we want everybody in this world to have the opportunity to live eternally, to live in the presence of the living God. And there will be those who have rejected Jesus Christ, and then they will not live in his presence. They will live, but not in his presence. They're going to live what the scripture calls a place called hell. And I know my father, my grandfather, great-grandfather, they always preached hell. And I said, well, they preach hell so much that you almost felt like whether you believe in God or not, you're going to hell. But no, there's an exception. It's for those that will accept Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to hell. In fact, not only you don't have to, you will not. Because of the power of God, he has the power to save us. He has the power to change us. He has the power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like to say to people, I'm not a perfect person, but I got a perfect Christ. And that perfect Christ has changed me, and he's making me more like himself. And if you have that Christ, you know what he's doing? He's perfecting you. He's making you more like himself. And so we need to make sure that we are honoring our Christ, and he's perfecting us. He's making you better. You'll be better today than you were yesterday. And every day that you draw closer to him, he makes us better. That's why I love him, because I know every day, every time I say, God, I'm sorry that I disappointed you. I'm sorry that I didn't do what you said. He makes me better. We got this Christ that makes us better. And so Jesus starts to teach to them, and he says to them, this is what you're going to happen. You're going to encounter those that when they are dead, verse 25, they will rise from the dead. This is important, my brothers and sisters. You will rise from the dead. Now, when you rise from the dead, you're either going to be like Christ or you're going to be like the opposite of Christ. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 25. When they rise from the dead, he said they won't marry or be given in marriage, but are like the angels. I want you to write the third part of your outline. The resurrected are like the angels. Now, if you know me, some of you know me pretty good. You know I'm no angel. I know I'm no angel. But what I do know is that God has said that in the resurrection, I'll be like the angels. In other words, he's changing me. If you're going to be a part of the resurrection and part of those that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is changing you. You're going to be like the angels. The angel only has one goal in life, and that is that they might please God. And so there are times when I can act, really, you may not believe me, but I can act angelic. I can act angelic because Christ is changing me. And he makes it my desire to do that one thing, and that is to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ. When you decide you want to bring honor to the God that made you, you're becoming like the angels. And Jesus said of the resurrected, those that have accepted him as Savior, all of us will be like the angels. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to be like an angel. Yeah, you're going to be like an angel. Now, that's a tough assignment. Because to be like the angel means I got to surrender my will to his will. I can't do what's going to be pleasing to me. I have to do what's going to be pleasing to my God. That's being like the angel. Being like the angel means I'm not going to be disobedient to not one word that he says. That's being like the angels. The angels in heaven, they obey every word out of the mouth of God. That's why they're angels. And Jesus said, we're going to be like them. We're going to be like the angels. But an angel has never experienced forgiveness because an angel has never been disobedient. And so when we become like the angels, we won't have to worry about being forgiven anymore because we won't be disobedient anymore. We're going to have, you know what? Jesus said he's going to even put us in charge of the angels. And Lucifer didn't like it when he heard that. Lucifer was the most powerful angel in heaven. And when God said, I'm going to put mankind, this Adam that he had made, I'm going to put him over the angels, Lucifer said, oh, no. God, you done stepped off the throne now. You can't talk about putting dirt and clay and going to put them over me. And then he got with some of the other angels. And they said, well, God talking like this, we got to remove God. He can't stay on the throne talking like that. And, you know, and Lucifer was so powerful, the Bible said he convinced one-third of the angels. God isn't making any more angels. And he lost one-third of them. The angels that are made, they are made. Angels don't multiply. Now, the fallen group did try to multiply. I'll talk about that another time. But the group that was obedient, God has, he already set that number. And God has already declared, my brothers and sisters, that he wants you and I to be like those angels, to be obedient to his word. And when we're obedient to his word, then God is pleased with our lives. So Jesus says to them, you're going to be like the angels. And this is an important part. You're going to be like these angels. They never need rest. They never sleep. They only live that they might bring praise and glory to the Almighty God. Everything they do is to bring praise and glory to God. I'm looking forward to the day that everything I do is to bring glory and praise to my God. I'm looking forward to the day that every day I'm going to say hallelujah to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to my God. Every day, every moment, every second of the hour, bringing praise to God. But Jesus tells us that's what's going to happen. He's going to be like those angels. And then he says to them, now I want you to know this concerning the dead. This fourth part of the outline, that they rise. The dead will rise. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, every person you know that have died, they will rise again. My mother's gone. My dad's gone. All my grandparents are gone. But I know this, they will rise again. I got a younger brother who's already gone. And I know, but he will rise again. The dead will rise again. And so Jesus speaks to us about the resurrection. He doesn't say that it might happen. He tells it's going to happen. And what I hope and pray is that they have accepted Jesus as Christ, because not only will they rise from the dead, they'll rise all the way up to heaven. God's going to call them up. And then he also says, those of us, the Apostle Paul teaches us, those of us that are living, if we're alive when Jesus Christ comes back, he said, we're going to be called up into the air. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. God is going to change us permanently and going to change us where we are like the angels. We will rise. But let me get to the last thing and I'll be finished for this morning. The last thing the scripture teaches us, verse 27, Jesus told them, remember now, in the burning bush passage, Jesus actually calls it the book of Moses. In our Bibles, we don't actually have a book of Moses. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and those are considered the books of Moses. So when you read the Bible, and you don't find a book of Moses because it doesn't exist. What does exist is these books that Moses dictated, and this is what Jesus is referring to. He's referring to these passages in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the books of Moses. So when Jesus speaks now, he says, now, haven't you read in the book of Moses? He's actually quoting a verse out of late part of Genesis. Haven't you read where they... Moses encountered the burning bush. He knew that they had read it already. He also knew he had already told them, now you don't know the scriptures. He didn't tell them you hadn't read the book. You read it, but you don't know it. It's not in you, and you don't understand what it says. So Jesus said, haven't you read in the book of Moses the burning bush passage where God says to Moses that God is the God of Abraham, God is the God of Isaac, God is the God of Jacob. Haven't you read that? And of course, he knew that they had. Then he says to them something that they didn't know. Verse 27, I'm going to close with this. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He is not the God of those that have died, are dead in the grave. He said he is the God of the living. Even though their bodies may have died, they live in Jesus Christ. They live in the God who is the God of all creation. And my brothers and sisters, whatever loved ones we have lost to death, God says, they are not the God of the dead. Our God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. That means for you and I, he will make them live again. If you are in Christ Jesus, you live. If you die, if my father's dead, my grandfather's dead, my great-grandfather's dead, I knew them all, but they're all dead. And God said, because they live, because they believed in me, because they proclaimed my name, they live. I've made mistakes. I've done what was not pleasing to God. And God said, but because you believed on my name, you will live. Everybody that calls on the name of Jesus Christ, we live. We live in him. We live in his power. We live in his love. He is the God of the living. You're alive today because God loves you. You're alive today because God cares for you. You're alive today because God is having mercy on you. You're alive today because the love of God reaches further than we can reach. And our God said, I'm going to reach out to you whether you receive me or not. I'm going to reach out to you because I love you. I'm glad I serve a God who loves me. He loves me when I'm right. And he loves me when I'm wrong. Our God loves us. He loves us when we're up. He loves us when we're down. Our God loves us. He loves us when we are being holy. And he loves us even when we're unholy. Our God loves us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish. I'm glad I got a God who loves me. I'm glad I got a God who went to the cross for me. I'm glad I got a God that woke, that got up out of the grave and declared all power is in my hand. I'm glad God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. My spirit tells me so. My own soul tells me so. I'm glad I got a God that loves me. I'm going to stop right there. Let us all stand. Maybe somebody wants to receive this Christ today. Maybe you want to accept him into your heart today. It is true. God loves you. In fact, why don't you guys sing that with me? Yes, you guys know that song, right? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, let's sing that.
Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
For the
yes. Vine. Jesus.
Jesus loves me.
Man, with my boy or girl, we invite you to come.
Yeah.
Easter season, I like how Jesus includes everybody, and he says, whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to take a moment now as we close the service. If you believe in him, you want to draw closer to him, you want to rededicate yourself to him, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I want to just ask, offer a word of prayer. Any man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, young adult, this is Easter season. This is resurrection time. You want to draw closer. You want to be more of the man, the woman, the teenager, young adult God's calling you to be. You can't do this on your own. You need power from on high. And when we understand the power of God, God will take where we are right now. He will change us. He will renew us. He'll make us whole. That's what our God will do. It is the mysterious power of God. God will do amazing things. He'll make a way out of no way. Gracious God, thank you for these that have come. We know there's power in your witness. There's power in your word. There's power in the hand of Almighty God. And so it is that great power, the power of God, that I come now asking that you would acknowledge these that have made their way to your altar. You have declared that we are, as you said to Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. We recognize, God, that we are on holy ground, standing on holy ground. And we ask now that you would bless us with the power of Almighty God. Bless our bodies. Some are dealing with sicknesses and illnesses and not feeling well. I remember Sister Murky Miller just turned 100. She's in the hospital now. Bless her body. And every person that's calling on your name, God, we ask by the power of God, bless our bodies. I pray that you would forgive me and forgive my brothers and sisters. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our shortcomings. You are a God of forgiveness. You make all things possible to us. Forgive us of our sin. And then lastly, God, I pray that you would help us to draw closer to you. Let us hunger and thirst for your grace, for your love, for your approval, for your mercies. Make us, God, where we want to hunger and thirst for you to be like our Christ, a man without sin. Make our women a women without sin. Make our teenagers without sin. We thank you, God, that you went through every phase of life and you blessed us with your presence. We ask that your presence will go with us, keep us, shape us, and mold us. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now unto him is able to keep us from falling, the great shepherd of the sheep, the firstborn from the dead, the blood of the everlasting covenant, even our Savior Jesus our Christ, to him be dominion, majesty, grace, and power, now, henceforth, and forever. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming today. We are dismissed.